Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. Hey, I want to continue talking about the New Testament gift of prophecy, prophetic ministry, and which is very popular in some areas of the church. And no question in my mind, there are a lot of extremes in this whole area in the charismatic movement today. And so I want to talk to you about the importance of thinking critically without quenching the spirit. Now, I'm using the word critically in the academic sense. I'm not talking about being judgmental and so on. There's two extremes that we could go with when it comes with prophecy. We could be harsh and judgmental and question anything and everything anybody does, or we can be open and naive and just drink in and just take anything that comes along, like a little bird in a nest. And the little baby bird, you've seen them, they got their mouth open and they're waiting for their mother to come and drop a nice juicy worm in their mouth. But they are just so open and wide open and hungry. I mean, you could come along and drop some little pieces of gravel and BBs in their little mouths and kill them. Well, we don't want to be so open and naive that we just accept everything that comes down the pike. But on the other extreme, we don't want to be hard and harsh and judgmental and not be able to receive when God really is speaking. So when I use the word thinking critically, I'm using it in, as it's often used in the academic sense, where it refers to evaluating something, weighing something, evaluating, and then making a decision and judgment based on your critical thinking, based on your evaluation. Now, the Bible tells us to do this. For example, there is a passage. Well, let me just read a definition of to think critically. This is from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It describes it as exercising or involving careful judgment or judicious evaluation. So therefore, to think critically is to question, consider, and evaluate a situation or manifestation. I'll tell you, there are people who have lost their lives because they did not exercise some critical evaluation of a situation. In 1978, over 900 people, many of them had been members of evangelical and Pentecostal and charismatic churches. They followed a charismatic preacher named Jim Jones to South America and committed suicide with him. And many of them, these were people with families and small children. You can't imagine the horror and the stress these people were under as Jim Jones were shouting for them to drink the poisonous Kool-Aid. And they had put their complete trust in this man. I am sure that there were warning signs along, but he seemed so real and seemed such a man of God that they followed him without questioning what they were doing and wound up losing their lives and the lives of their small children. Oh, my friends, in these days when God is pouring out his spirit, Satan is also at work. For Jesus said when his disciples came to him, and I believe this is Matthew 24, and they said, "Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus immediately responded, "Take heed," means to be careful lest anyone deceive you. And he went on to talk about how that many false prophets would arise and even show signs and wonders, and that many would be deceived. So my friends, This is the warning for us today. Yes, God is moving. God is pouring out his spirit. But we must not be like the little birds with our mouths wide open, naively accepting everything, that looks bright and shiny. and that comes down the pike. No, we need to think critically. The verse I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, where Paul says, let the prophet speak and let the others judge. Now, he's not talking about a special elite group of prophets. He's talking about anyone who has, it's functional language, anyone who has a manifestation of prophecy. Let them speak. Go ahead and let them give it forth. But he says, and let the others judge. The others would be the others in the congregation. Now, we have to realize that most of the congregations that Paul is writing to that are going to read this, they are meeting in homes. And there is a lot of freedom for people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, how is it, brothers and sisters, when you come together? He said, each of you has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. He said, let everything be done decently in order. If someone has a prophecy, let them speak and let the others judge what he said. Now, the word judge in this passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 29, is from the Greek word diakrino. And various translations, it's translated in various translations as to judge, to discern, and to weigh carefully. And the word literally means to separate or to discriminate. In other words, we are to set in judgment and we are to separate truth from error. We're not necessarily judging the person, we're judging what has been said. And this is what it means when I use the term to think critically. This is what it means, and it is the responsibility of the entire body of Christ. I was talking about the people who lost their lives following Jim Jones. As a young preacher, my first extended revival that I ever preached was in 1973, just before I went off to Bible school at Christ for the Nations. God moved in a marvelous way, and I preached every night for 3 weeks. Well, God worked, and people were saved and healed, and we had a baptismal service at the end of the 3 weeks, and I guess we would have gone on, but I had enrolled in Bible school, and I had to had to close the meeting in order to fulfill my commitment there. Oh, my friends, when our hearts are sincere and hungry towards God, God will work in marvelous ways. But there was one night during this meeting that a visiting preacher, I didn't know him, the pastors knew him. At the end of the service, he called me aside and gave me a prophecy. Now, I do not remember what he said because it wasn't really meaningful to me. So I don't have any idea, don't remember what he said. But I do remember the conversation I had. I'm staying in the home of the pastors, and we have traveled to church in their vehicle. And so traveling home, they began asking me and questioning me, what did I think about that prophecy and so on. And then it came out they were totally against personal prophecies. But then there was a reason and a context for it. This man was in his 50s at the time. He was single. He was the associate pastor. His mother, who had founded the church, was the pastor. When she passed away, he continued to pastor it until he died in his 70s. Never did get married. But here's the sad story they told me, that he told me. This was in when he was much younger, and they attended another church. It was before they had founded, started this small church in a little community called Bache, Oklahoma. There was a young woman, we will call her Lois. I don't know that was her name. I don't recall, but we'll call her Lois. And they were really good friends. They were close friends. And even though Jess had not asked her to marry him, he was thinking that she may well be the one that God had chosen to be his wife. And so he felt very drawn to her and felt that he loved her, but had not really come out yet and asked her to marry him. Well, she went away to visit some relatives during the summer in another state. And one day at church, somebody said to him, did you hear about Lois? He said, no, what? They said, she's getting married. He was shocked getting married. How could this be? Well, the story all came out later. In this church in another state that where she was visiting relatives, there was a woman who prophesied to her that God had brought her there to marry a certain young man in that congregation. My friends, never allow anybody to control your life by prophecy. Oh, God can use prophecy to confirm what you already know. Never, ever allow anyone to be a matchmaker by using the gift of prophecy. And so they did not evaluate what was said. They didn't know that they were supposed to think critically about this and weigh it and evaluate it and discern this whole thing. And has God spoken to me already about this? Apparently they did not do that and they wound up getting married. Jess was, he was shocked. He was heartbroken. The marriage did not last. She wound up having 3 children with this man. Went through some very difficult times. Wound up divorcing him. Returned home to McAlester, Oklahoma with 3 small children. Very disillusioned about God and about prophetic ministry and so on. And from that time on, Jess was totally against the gift of prophecy, as far as, you know, personal gift of prophecy, giving personal prophecies. Sadly, you see, he went in the opposite direction. Lois went in one extreme, like a little bird, naive, just accepting what anybody says. And then Jess, he went to the other extreme. He decided to throw it all out. Who knows how things could have been if they all had been willing to follow the instruction of Scripture. Recognize that there is a valid New Testament gift of prophecy. But also recognize that Scripture calls upon us not to be naive, but to weigh carefully, to discern, and to judge, and to think critically about what is said, and then make a decision based on your own understanding of what God is saying. Oh, my friends, how we need to be confident in our own relationship with God, because there is a lot of false and strange stuff going on in the world out there, and we'll talk about that in the next episode as we continue talking about prophetic ministry. God bless you. This is Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You'll find some good articles there. You'll find a bookstore. You'll find my book called Prophets and Prophecy, where a lot of what I'm talking about is in that book. It'll be a great blessing to you, and I'll see you tomorrow.